Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
I'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. Bob, Kelly, Dima. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We're glad you're on board. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. A great place for you to call if you want to cater the first home game. And your tailgating, Dickey's would be the perfect company for you to do that with. So we thank Dickey's for all that they do. It's Friday. Let's go straight to New Orleans. That's where Patrick McGee writes for NOLA.com and covers the New Orleans Saints, who, Patrick, right now are 1-0 and got off to a great start, didn't they, Patrick?
I wouldn't call it great. You know, it was just one of those preseason games that happened, and they happened to kick a field goal there in the final minute to win it. People are kind of piling on Derek Carr. You know, he had a couple of possessions, had one first down, didn't look that great. But, you know, the worst thing you can do is really judge an offense by what happens in the preseason. They're not going to run the new system and all the pieces and all the plays that they're going to use in the season. So there's not much to read into that. But, yeah, it was a win. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Is it just me, Patrick, or do you find preseason games – boring?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't. You know, the only reason I watch Saints preseason games is because I have to. I mean, they're just pretty bad all the way across the board. Every now and then you'll have kind of an entertaining moment. You know, a nobody comes out there and leads a team to a couple of late touchdowns or something like that. Preseason games in the NFL, I've never liked them. I think they should be cut down to one or two games. But by doing that, the NFL is saying, well, we'll just have one or two regular season games. So, preseason games are boring, no doubt.
All right, so we picked up what appears to have been a fake social media post yesterday about the Minnesota Vikings expressing interest in trading for Derek Carr. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I saw it, and somebody in the newsroom walked up and told me, and as soon as that pulled up, I was like, well, this guy's got 120 followers. On Twitter, I don't really trust him to be the authority on stuff. But, yeah, that was definitely fake.
But it is amazing how when you can literally say anything on social media, and I was guilty of it. You know, you just, in a quick glance, you know, you think that it might be true. But I wonder, Patrick, with the first game, as boring as it was, this really could have been a microcosm of the season to come, right? I mean, even the biggest Saints fans aren't overly optimistic, although they're not necessarily pessimistic either. I'm not sure if you wouldn't rather have the fan base on one end of the spectrum or the other, kind of than right in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. In terms of, I think fans are just kind of skeptical right now, but, you know, they see a defense that can be pretty good. And they've got a new offensive coordinator in place who's installing a system that's been pretty darn effective within the NFL, you know, what Shanahan and those guys have done. This Sunday against the 49ers, they're going to see that system go head-to-head, But, yeah, it's kind of hard to be overly optimistic, but there's always that thing in the back of the mind. It's like, well, they still have these pieces in place on defense, and maybe this offense will go this season. You just don't know. I think, you know, I think Carr was, you know, even though he was pretty mediocre, he was also banged up for a good chunk of the middle part of the season. If he goes out there and, you know, puts in one of his better seasons, the Saints are, you know, probably in the playoffs. But it's just a lot to expect him to go out there right now. Just from what we've seen, the evidence so far, it's just hard to see him going out there and leading the team to like 11 or 12 wins.
A lot of the storylines dealing with any NFL preseason team are the diamonds in the rough that teams may have found in the draft or via free agency, or guys who were drafted very highly and are busting in preseason. Are there any names in either one of those categories that have jumped out during drills?
There's a tight, I think he might be injured at the moment, but there's a tight end out of Yale, Mason Ivey. I'm the worst with names. I think his last name was Ivy. But he was really playing really well, a receiver slash tight end. I think he is a receiver. But he was playing really well through the early stages of preseason camp. I think he got banged up before the preseason game. But, you know, kind of looking at when you're watching the preseason game, you're kind of waiting for somebody to pop, somebody you don't really know to really show up. You didn't really see that. You know, Rattler played okay, but there was also throws they made out there. It's like, well, he's got to have to make that if he's an NFL guy. But no, I mean, I didn't come away from that preseason game. It was like, man, they found it. Preseason, maybe Hulker, the tight end out of Colorado State, but everybody kind of expects him to make the team at the very least in a practice squad role. So, no, there's really not. And the Saints over the years have been pretty good at identifying undrafted free agents who could potentially be, like, at the very least, a second stringer or even start in the near future. But right now, there's nobody I can specifically point to that's just kind of that diamond in the rough.
And a lot of these unrestricted free agents wind up pretty much just being special teams, you know, guys kickoff, punt returns, right, things like that.
I saw something on your site about Alvin Kamara and just his absence from Saints practice.
Right.
Can you talk about his status? I think Allen said it wasn't due to the contract, but it's in more to a back tightness, I think. But it seems to me like might have been something more there.
No, I mean, if you believe what Dennis Allen says, it is, he's dealing with some back tightness, and it's something apparently that he's dealt with before in his career. You know, they're not going to force it with a veteran. I mean, Kamara's been there. We can read into it whatever we want, but I don't have any inside info on whether, say, Kamara is, like, potentially, oh, I woke up with a bad back today and I just say I'm going to take today off. I don't think that's the case. But, you know, everybody's going to be watching Alvin Kamara throughout preseason prep and seeing, you know, if he's out there practicing, what's his body language. But if you kind of go back and look at the early stages of preseason camp, he was really active, helping the, you know, younger players in drills and stuff like that. So he seems pretty engaged at this point, just from what I've seen. So I don't think there's too much to read into the back tightness. I think any veteran at this stage of his career, if he's got something a little bit off, the Saints are going to sit him. You know, they know what they're going to get out of those guys.
Right.
The problem with the league as a whole and just the nature of the game is, I get the fact that you want to protect your money guys, but you have to be in game shape. Otherwise, you could go out there in game one or game two and get hurt because you haven't gotten enough reps. It's that double-edged sword, Patrick, and I'm not sure there's an answer to it.
But, no, but well, I mean, I think Kendre Miller, the running back, is you know, they haven't got that sample of him yet. He was banged up all last year. I think was active for like 8 games, ended up with like 30 carries or whatever, but he has been MIA. I think he's been off to the side working, but he has a hamstring issue before the first practice even started in preseason camp. And he's somebody that everybody kind of points to. So like, well, if Kamara isn't, you know, great this year, so maybe he can have a breakthrough, but he hasn't been on the practice field at all. So there's some concern there that Kendre Miller, a guy they invested a third round pick in, I mean, there's a chance he's not even going to make the team. Cause they've got to get guys in a running back and contribute. But, right now Miller's one guy that everybody's looking at and wondering if he's even going to see the field this preseason, and will he even be on the roster once the season starts?
Patrick, I heard him say last night during a preseason game that all these NFL teams have 90 guys on their roster, but they have to cut it to 52. So yeah, a lot of the people that you're watching play preseason football, whether it be for the Saints or anybody else, they're not going to be around come regular season.
No, but I know a lot of teams are watching those games too. They're looking for guys, you know, that they can maybe pick up, you know, fit a spot that they need. So these games are super important for those guys on the back end, because if they get cut, there's a chance, hey, we want them at least for our practice squad. And right now the Saints have got to be out there looking for a right tackle, because right, Trevor Penning so far has been a bit of a hot mess at right tackle. So in camp and now in the preseason game, he had a really rough day. He started last season at left tackle, was back on the bench within like three or four games. So, yeah, I mean, these games, they're boring, for a lot of fans, they don't want to have to go through it, but the entire league is watching closely well into the third and fourth quarter of these games.
Well, Dima started to cry a little bit yesterday when he saw that about Derek Carr, so you can reassure him that's just a rumor, right? There's no validity to
that.
He's
a big Spencer Rattler fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everybody wants to ride the Rattler train, but I'm watching some of those throws out there. I'm like, man, this ain't going to cut it. You know, he's got to get better.
To set the record straight, I am nowhere near a Rattler fan.
Well,
I think he is terrible.
I thought he maybe deduced a little bit of sarcasm.
Okay, I hope so.
Yeah.
Patrick, have you got just a few more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're going to hold Patrick over through the break. I want to get him to break down the first month of the Saints season because Dima just told us in my office they're going 0-5. We'll see what Patrick says about that. 0-5 for the Saints, 4 wins for the Golden Eagles. This is a pessimistic young man.
Boy, I was just going to say, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play?
Are you off that 4 wins yet?
I'm gonna.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the program as we continue our conversation with Professor Patrick McGee. And during the break, Kelly was telling Patrick that he's so old now, when he sees a bright light, he starts walking toward it.
It's just instinctive. I don't know.
That's pretty sad. Genesis Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road, and so is their new showroom. Man, it's awesome. Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They'd love to see you at Genesis of Hattiesburg. All right, Patrick, let's get back to New Orleans Saints football. My young man here, Dima, sat in my office a few minutes ago and sadly said the Saints could go 0-5 out of the gate.
Well, I remembered Carolina, so I said 1-4.
Oh, yeah, when he heard Carolina, he did back up a little bit. Are you looking at 1-4, Patrick, in the first 5 games?
No, I mean, it's a very distinct possibility.
It really is.
I mean, the way the schedule set, I mean, everybody, you know, they rate this Saints schedule as easy. The preseason ratings on schedules is always just loaded. I mean, it's just not based in reality. But yet, opening with the Panthers, if there's ever been a must-win game in the season opener, it's that one. And you've got them at home. Then you go to the Cowboys. You know, and yeah, you have a shot on the road, you know, in Dallas. You know, I don't expect them to be super dominant. But, no, I don't expect them to win there. Then you have the Eagles coming in, who have got to have a chip on the shoulder after what happened last year. I think they'll recover. Then you're going to the Falcons, which is another very winnable game. But the Saints also lost out on one of the top remaining free agents just yesterday, Justin Simmons, a safety, used to play for the Broncos. He signed for the Falcons yesterday. And then you look ahead, then you have the Kansas City. You're going on the road to Kansas City in week 5.
Wow.
I think 1-4 is probably a good possibility. The best case scenario, you know, not best case scenario, all right, but 2-3 is okay. If they come out 2 or 3 of those games, you know, you think you're still in kind of in the mix when it comes to playoffs. But if you're 1-4, you can kind of call back maybe, but it's going to be a long road.
All right.
Now, Kansas City is the only team that plays 17 home games. Is that right, Patrick?
It seems like it.
Yeah, it does seem like it.
Because the Bengals play them this year. Guess where?
At Kansas City.
So we can all sing together as Saints fans. Nothing can be fine, and then to start with Carolina. because that might be the only one, like you said.
Well, I agree with them that that is an absolute must win. If they somehow lay an egg against Carolina in the season opener,
I
assume Bryce Young is going to be their starting quarterback. I mean, he looks like a middle schooler behind center, and I don't think he's really beefed up any. I think they beat the Panthers. Yeah, you know, it's in New Orleans. I think they win.
You're 1,000% right about that, Patrick. That kid from Alabama that plays quarterback for Carolina, he looks like a junior high. He's not going to last 3 years.
Well, here's the big
– and he was drafted over C.J. Stroud. Yeah, I'm still salty about that.
That's crazy.
And here's the biggest problem if the Saints go 0-5. None of the grocery stores even use paper bags anymore.
Yeah,
so we'll have nothing. You know, the last
time.
See,
speaking of that, the last time before they changed the name, that I went to a Redskin game with my daughter, I let her pick the game, and I said, "Well, you know, honey, they're playing New England, man. Why don't we go watch?" She goes, "Dad, I'm not spending that kind of money and that kind of time to watch Tom Brady throw 20 touchdown passes up and down the field. Let's go watch them play the Jets. They'll beat the Jets 38-7, New York, Patrick." There was a row of guys behind us with paper bags on their heads that day. So that was the end of my Redskin career. Patrick, you guys sound sad about this. I'm a little shocked.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, it's reality. This is a team that's kind of old. You know, it's hard to kind of see them being better than they were a year ago.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're a year older in the NFL is more than a year older.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
that's right.
It takes a toll on a body. I'm not saying they can't be competitive and good on defense, but they got some old heads out there.
And stay tuned for the next segment when we doom Southern Miss football after dooming the Saints for the first half hour of the show.
So you look for who to win the division, Patrick. I gotta say Tampa.
I mean, I like Tampa. You know, yeah. I think they probably have, you know, I do also like the Falcons. I would say right now I would put, you know, probably Tampa in Atlanta slightly ahead of the Saints. That's kind of what
All right, as a man that covers the NFL for a living, I want to ask you this, and then I want to get Kelly's take on this too. So I watched about a quarter last night of the Patriots, and I think there is little argument left anymore that the Patriots were the great team they were because of Tom Brady. Am I right about that, Patrick?
No, I mean, if you look at, you know, Belichick's, you know, career record, you know, outside of Tom Brady, it's pretty mediocre at best.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Tom Brady was just a force. You know, he had that, you know, the drive, the, you know, everybody kind of followed his lead. And whenever he kind of gets off the bus, things change quickly in New England.
He was also, and you guys can say what you want, but I hear more and more people say this, he was also the NFL's golden boy, like Mahomes is now. And there were rules for everybody else in the league, and there were rules for Tom Brady, which means you couldn't look at him cross-eyed, you couldn't spit on him, you couldn't do anything like take that picture away.
The Saints did everything and above whenever he was in Tampa, but he would still get him in the end.
Correct.
Yeah.
He was the GOAT. There's no question.
Well, the Bengals open with the Patriots this year.
The Patriots do not look very good to me.
Well, but here's the bottom line. Belichick is now dating a guy, a woman, a third his age.
A guy?
No, Belichick is dating a girl a third his age.
Okay, what's it got to do with the Bengals opening against the Patriots?
He's doing okay. I'm saying
Patrick,
Belichick.
Can you help me with this?
Belichick, even though he's not coaching,
going?
He's doing okay.
He's got more free time these days, I guess.
Yeah, I guess he does.
And he better be in shape.
All right, Patrick, give me your three best NFC teams and your three best AFC teams.
Here, let me pull up. It's something I don't really have the top. Let me pull up.
While you're doing that, Patrick, I've heard seriously that with the Saints dealing with the Niners this weekend, that San Francisco has really been banged up with injuries, that they've canceled some practices because they're just guys are just dropping like flies in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, AFC. I'm going to go. I like the Texans a lot. I'll go with Ravens. Chiefs.
The Cheats?
Yeah.
The Kansas Chiefs. City Cheats, Bob.
Texans, Ravens, Chiefs. Hard to argue.
Yes.
Go CJ.
Yep.
Cincinnati's close, but depending on Burrow.
Yeah, no, Cincinnati's like 4 or 5, I would say.
Depending on their quarterback. If he gets hurt, they're dead.
And see, we were talking about that before, you know, trying to keep your guys on the shelf so they don't get hurt. Well, the Bengals the last 2 years have started 0-3, and it's because Burrow didn't hardly play any in the preseason trying to protect him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can go overboard with that and dig yourself too big of a hole.
Patrick, before you do the NFC, because I'm an NFC guy, I want to give you guys my three, and then you can tell me where I'm wrong. I've got San Francisco, Philadelphia, and the Commanders.
Wow.
Patrick?
All right. I'm going 49ers, Lions, and I'll go with the surprise. I'll go with Packers.
Packers? Yeah, the Packers could be good. Yeah,
pretty good.
I hadn't thought about the line. I was obviously kidding about the Commodores, but
no, the NFC North is actually going to be interesting this year with Caleb Williams in Chicago.
Yeah,
they've got pretty good players. I think the NFC North is going to be entertaining.
And it's not the Commodores, Bob. It's the Commanders.
I'm with you on the Lions, Patrick. And I like watching Detroit play. That's the old timey football there.
Well, Jordan Love is the quarterback for Green Bay, is like being drafted really high up in fantasy leagues this year for some reason.
He's a good young quarterback.
So, yeah, but I don't know that he's worthy of where some of these guys are taking him in fantasy football.
Last question for you, Patrick, before we let you go, is the kid from USC that's playing for the Bears, is he overhyped, or is he as good as he thinks he is?
No, as long as he's put in a position to succeed, I can see him kind of being a little bit, you know, maybe a Russell Wilson-type player, maybe a little better. I think he's more athletic than, say, a Russell Wilson. So, yeah, I mean, I like him a lot. I mean, as long as he has the pieces around him, I think he's going to have a good career.
Right. He's no Billy Kilmer, I'll tell you.
No, well, there ain't many of them. All right, I'm going to give you another week to get the Commanders up there in that top three slot, Patrick. You do some research. I think you're going to be grossly disappointed.
I think the Lord would have to coach that team.
You've called me the professor, but I'm not that good. I can't.
There's no equation that you can come up with.
No. Einstein couldn't have figured up an equation.
Right.
All right, Patrick, thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, later, man.
Patrick McGee from Nola.com.
Well, he was just a ray of sunshine if you're a Saints fan.
Well, between him and Dima, I just feel like taking an antidepressant when I get off the air.
But Dima's a Texans fan, Bob. Did you see how he reacted when he
said, oh, no, I'm not a Texans fan. I just root for C.J. Stroud. I just want him to
– why?
Yeah. I want him to be awesome.
What is it about C.J. Stroud?
Everybody has their guy.
Okay. All right.
So based on your prediction, young man, after the first month of the season, the Saints and the Eagles will be a combined 0-8. did I get that right, Kelly?
Yeah. So you're talking about not the Philadelphia Eagles.
No. As the vice president does. Did y'all notice the weather outside? It looks pretty nice, doesn't it?
My economy's good. Right about it. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rock, where you have lunch 5 days a week, dinner every night, cold Pabst Blue Ribbon, just a good place to go. I'm sure there'll be some football on the TV over the weekend.
Actually, week zero is next week,
next week,
Dima? So we'll have some games starting, I guess, a week from
Florida,
tonight.
Florida State and Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland.
That might be a beer or two consumed during that game, yeah?
It could be. Some of that old nasty dark Scotland. Brown beer. All right, if you got a comment or a question you'd like to ask, we'll take it. You can call us at 601-264-8910. Already got one sent in, and let me run this by you two guys. This is from Barry. Recently read an article that listed Memphis as the favorite of the group of five to make the national playoffs. Second place was a tie between Liberty, Western Kentucky, and Jacksonville. Whoever wins the CUSA title, I'm not sure what that means, but no mention of the Sun Belt. So what do you guys say? Memphis is the favorite, followed by Liberty and Western Kentucky?
Liberty, I can see, but of course they're Conference USA now.
Well, I think that's what he's referencing then, Liberty and Western Kentucky. If they play,
no, I don't see Western Kentucky in there at all.
And Jacksonville State
and Memphis is AAC. All right, so I would say that Liberty with Jamie Chadwell, who used to be the coach at Coastal Carolina, Liberty I can see, but let me throw App State in there.
App State.
I know we're biased for the Sun Belt, but the way that everybody was talking about App State, and we talked about this on the show, Bob, how everybody was just falling all over themselves about App State, and with Aguilar back at quarterback, you know, for a second year, App State, you know, the East is the beast in the Sun Belt Conference, and they're supposed to set the tone in the East. So I would go not Memphis. I would go with Liberty out of CUSA and Coastal. App State.
So here's why I think Texas State's going undefeated.
Oh.
And so I think
you actually have a team you're optimistic about.
Texas yes. State doesn't even pay
and
him,
call us you know? To agree to that.
Yeah. Wow.
But this is why I think Texas State is going undefeated and going to the playoff. The second game of the season that they play is against UTSA, who might be the best team in the Conference USA. They get that game at home. That is a big game for the Group of Five representee in the playoff game, in the playoffs. UTSA, you know, 9-4 last season. That is a big game. I think App State plays another big game. I forget what they play. But all of the rest of Sun Belt games for Texas State, they go on the road to Sam Houston State, which is we would see that as a win.
And that's CUSA now.
CUSA, yeah. And so every one of their tough games, as you would say, is at home. The only game that I could see that they might have trouble with is on the road at Troy. Every other game, when you look at this, at home versus Arkansas State, Old Dominion, Louisiana, Monroe on the road, Southern Miss at home versus Georgia State at South Alabama. All these Sun Belt teams are pretty unproven outside of maybe Arkansas State and Troy. They get all those games on their schedule. They don't draw an App State. They don't draw Coastal Carolina. They don't draw these other teams. And then not to mention they have 18 returning starters, the most returning starters in any team in the Sun Belt. And they are absolutely loaded at every single position. If they go undefeated, they definitely have a chance at getting – if they could go 13-0 with the Sun Belt title over potentially App State, I think they have just as good a chance as anybody to get in the playoff.
All right. Now, Kelly, you're talking about Conference USA teams being in the national playoff.
Well, I mean, if somebody's got to go – I mean, but part of the reason that a Conference USA team might be eligible is because the rest of that conference is so weak. You know, particularly with some of the ones they've added, Kennesaw State, New Mexico, UMass. These are terrible football programs. Not necessarily bad athletic programs, but terrible football programs. So, you know, you fatten up the calf, fatten up the, you know, whatever, by feasting on these weaklings, you know, it looks good as far as the record goes, but then you'd get thrown to the wolves in the playoff type situation. But it's all about racking up wins. So
yeah,
so I don't know, but there, when you looked at who Conference USA added, those are not strong football, you know, programs.
Yeah, I don't think the Conference USA will get a team in the playoff. I think it'll be either American or Sun Belt. I think either one of those. But I think if any one of those goes 12-1, 13-0, it's going to be really hard to leave them out just because.
So you believe Texas State will win the Sun Belt?
Yes. Yeah, they're my preseason Sun Belt team to win the Sun Belt.
What do you say? Well, I mean, it's so early.
Well, yeah, it is. But, I mean, the two favorites, again, if you believe the preseason prognostications, it's going to be Texas State in the West, and it's going to be App State in the East.
So neither one of you guys are buying our listeners what he read, that Memphis is the favorite to get to the playoff.
No, he did mention Jacksonville State. And Jacksonville State has been one of those teams looking
at
all.
Are they in Conference USA now?
Yes.
They are. But when you look at Jacksonville State and all the preseason publications, either writers think very, very highly of Jacksonville State or they seem to think very, very lowly of Jacksonville State. It's not one of those teams that that people are either really wishy-washy on. And I don't understand how some can find them so attractive and other writers find them so dismal.
Adema, that's the fourth game on USM's schedule, right? Jacksonville State?
Yes.
So if you're looking at Kentucky, then Southeast Louisiana, you figure that's a win. You got a tough South Florida Bulls team coming in here. Yes. And then Jacksonville State. I mean, you talk about the Saints having a rough start.
I think that Southern Miss has to go 2-2 in that stretch. Like, I just think it's vital. They cannot enter conference play 1-3. And so it's vital. Southern Miss doesn't have to win both of them, but they have to find a way to get one of those, the USF or Jacksonville.
So what's the tougher game, Kelly? Is it the Florida Bulls here or going to Jacksonville State?
The Bulls here, because it's a home game and it's earlier in the season. Because, you know, Southern Miss fans, we tend to be fickle. All right, we can talk about this in the family, right? But we're really fickle. And at the first sign of distress, we start jumping ship. All right, and if the Bulls come in here and win the game, then you've already got people starting to – and then you got to go to Jacksonville State, you know, the next week on the road. And I think that those two games, and this is to Dima's point, those two games are going to be the litmus test early on for this Southern Miss team. Yeah. Those two games are going to set the tone for the rest of the season.
So what is
view.
The tougher of those two games, Dima?
I agree. I think just South Florida is a lot better than Jacksonville State. First off, I mean, this is a team, they took Alabama to the fourth quarter last year, and they have most of that team coming back. Like, let's not forget what they did. Like, I mean, obviously Alabama was, that was such a trap game for them. It was a weird game coming off that Texas loss. But that was the talent of that team. They went 7-5 last year. They have the most returning players in that conference, I think, out of everybody other than Clemson. And so, are they in the ACC? No, they're in the Big. I can't remember what they're in. But
they're in the ACC, aren't they?
South Al?
They're the AAC.
Yeah, so they South have. Florida. That's right. So they have a ton of returning production there. Not an easy game by any means. And you're talking about, you know, like Kelly's saying, there's going to be a lot of pressure to win it. And so.
They took Alabama into the fourth quarter last year.
They were leading at halftime.
Well, how many SEC teams were getting beaten by weaklings, and then the referees go, oh, wait a minute, the SEC team is behind?
Well, the one that jumps out at me more than any was it Georgia State?
Yes.
Against Auburn the year before last?
Georgia State had them beat in every category.
From the beginning of the game to the last 2 minutes of the game.
And guess who won?
Yeah, I think we guessed. So I want to thank you, Dima. This has been a totally depressing show so far. Now you've brought that out about South Florida. I had no idea about that.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Xanax.
Find me a bottle.
Yes.
I do think that Southern Miss is going to be 2-2 coming out of that stretch. I think they have the talent.
So which of the two games are you predicting they win? Southeast and what?
I think they beat Jacksonville State on the road. I think they lose to South Florida. If I was a betting man,
you know, Yarg will be seeing Will Hall in the morning, right?
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? On the other side of that coin, if the Eagles can pull off the upset at home against
then they're 3-1,
and then go to Jacksonville State and win
3-1
again. Oh, about
the whole season, is changed.
And you talk about the fan base, the rats jumping off.
Guess they're back on board.
They sure will.
I want you to listen to what they could be if that was the case. If they are 3-1. You host Louisiana after a bye week. So you get an extra week to prepare for them to open conference play. So let's just say they win that. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. They're 4-1 headed to Monroe, which is definitely, I would think, a win. Now they're 5-1, and they host Arkansas State for homecoming, which you feel like, I mean, that's a toss-up. You feel like you can win that game. 6-1 headed to James Madison. Yeah. That's how big the season could be if they were to get out of that 3-1.
Gentlemen, I can't remember. Who's the guy on the Eagle Hour that predicted 7 wins?
You predicted 7. I predicted 6.
And Dima.
Dima. My final prediction is not out. It will be out next Friday. You can go read it on my Twitter.
We call Dima Abraham Lincoln on this show because Abraham Lincoln at one time said something about 4 scores.
Well, that was that long ago when
they were personal friends.
Yeah,
Abe and Kelly.
They did call him Honest Abe too. So.
Yeah, and Kelly and Abe were tight.
That's why at my age I want to keep moving. That's how he got it, just sitting still. You know, he might still be with us.
Don't go to any place.
That's right.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, D-Bat, Hardy Street, great place to take your children for softball, baseball training. Really appreciate their support of our program. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. And it is a great place for you to go for a training that will make your kids be the best they can be in the sport of their choice. Want to thank Mo Bay Beignet Company. That'd be a great place to go this weekend. Get a good order of beignets, some syrup on top, and a hot coffee. And then if you spill the powdered sugar all over your shirt, like Kelly always does when he's there, he leaves Mo Bay Beignet. He goes to Town and Country Cleaners. He gets his shirt laundered, gets some bulky bedding, picks that up, and works out for you every time, Sam.
That was a great segue, Bob, how you connected all three of those. Only a highly skilled broadcasting professional could pull that off.
How about that?
Wow, that's
Super
amazing.
Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Now listen to this segue. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or everyone except Kelly can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and she will do it for you. Is it true when you talk to Alexa, she calls security?
We just hear the, the
help. Yeah.
Please come.
I don't have much luck. Yeah.
That's all he hears.
Yeah, Kelly's the only man on the planet that's been rebuffed by Siri.
Yes.
Can you please? No, Kelly, I will not. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, soccer's already underway.
Yeah, soccer. Great segue. Soccer, first game of the season. They shut out Mississippi Valley State in the season opener. Adarin Akino, Elise Williamson, and Shalene Quick all found the back of the net in a 5-0 victory for the Golden Eagles.
Now, it's not nothing, Dima, in soccer. What is zero?
Nil.
It's a nil.
Nil.
5-0.
5-0.
5-0. So that is good for the Golden Eagles soccer team. Women's volleyball back in action August 17th for the black and gold scrimmage before they hit off their season. I don't know how you say that, but yeah. Serve off their season for the Golden Eagle lady volleyball team. That'll be August 17th at 2 p.m.
That would be tomorrow.
Yes. See, I get all my days mixed up. So tomorrow afternoon, if you want to head out there, right after the Fan Fest, which we'll talk about in a minute. Women's soccer is back in action at Auburn on August 22nd at 6 p.m., so that'll be a good game for them. And then track and field and cross country start August 30th with the Azalea City Classic out in South Alabama.
So, man, I'll tell you what about Coach Mo, the women's soccer coach. Man, he schedules, Auburn, Ole Miss, mm-hmm. Mississippi State, yeah, LSU. Does. I mean,
yeah, they played LSU in an exhibition match a couple of days ago.
Yeah, but where the rubber meets the road is then when you get into really good conference play. And I remember when they were against Rice in Conference USA and beat Rice, when Rice was always, the big kahuna there. So
yeah.
It helps playing these tougher teams.
Is that a Hawaiian term, big kahuna?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Hang loose, Mongoose. Yeah. Tomorrow, Fan Fest.
I wish I wouldn't have seen that.
This has been a really weird hour. So, go ahead, Dima. Talk about tomorrow.
Yeah, Fan Fest is tomorrow. The Golden Eagles will take the field for the final fall scrimmage at 7:15 a.m. Huh. The doors open at 7 a.m. They'll have bouncy houses for the kids to jump on. Will Hall will address the crowd after the scrimmage. You come and watch the scrimmage, and then also you can bring posters and stuff, and I think they'll have that accessible as well that you can bring on the field and that the players can sign all of that, just like they did at the convention center several years ago, but now it's on the field. And so you'll be able to watch the scrimmage. You'll be able to, if you have little children, or maybe Kelly, if you want to get in the jumpy houses too. And then after the scrimmage.
That's an image right there.
I'll spring a leak in this bouncy house.
There you go. So then after the scrimmage, Will Hall will address the crowds, as my voice cracks there, address the crowds and tell them about the season. And last time they did this, Will Hall actually had a mic that was running the audience, the people watching through the scrimmage. So he was like, All right, it's third downs, or as Will Hall would say, all right, it's third downs.
Does Coach Hall realize that the dance team practices at 5:30 a.m. in the morning?
Well, we learned that, and if you want to go listen to that interview, go to the podcast.
Maybe that's when football ought to start off, Damon.
Hey, next week, Bob.
I hope Will Hall had stopped listening before that point.
Travis Higa, the director of the Pride of Mississippi, is going to be back on to talk about the band's preseason performance and lay out all of the different shows they're going to have. A couple of the drum majors might be able to join us next week. We're going to talk with Seth Smith, the head football coach at Pearl River Community College. They've got a quarterback this year in Poplarville, so things are looking up there. As we get into full mode football season, and I know we're going to be taking the Eagle Hour on the road.
Yes, we will be in Laurel next Friday.
And, okay.
And it'll be the first of several Fridays. Friday before opening season, opening game will be at the 4th Street Bar and Grill.
4th Street, okay.
Friday before the opening home game, we will be at Fuzzy. So we're looking forward to that, yeah. Looking forward to that. And maybe Coach Hall comes on the show next week and announces the starting quarterback.
Well, he said he said it wouldn't be Monday, but and I know he's speaking.
I think it's going to be Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so, too, because he's speaking at Club One of Hattiesburg. Yeah.
Coach, we know you listen, so we're holding a segment for Tuesday until we hear further.
And maybe at Club One, if he makes the announcement Tuesday at Club One and I'll be on the show Tuesday, and he can't be on the show, then I can at least relay that information. So.
All right. Strange show today, but it's Friday.
Anytime I'm around, there's going to be a little bit.
I think the FBI just walked in. Kelly, they're coming.
I think we'll be back Monday at 1 o'clock, and in case we are, until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.